My name is Ken. I'm a sex addict. Is anybody here having a really tough time today? Really struggling with their disease and really in a tough place? Well, I'm glad to hear that because you're in the wrong place. You might want to go somewhere else, ma'am, because this isn't the place to be. Because, you know, we're going to try and keep it a little light here. However, I'm going to be serious as a heart attack, and if you hang with me, I think that this could be one of the most interesting experiences you will have today. I talked about being serious with a heart attack. You know, there's a story about this this sponsor. He's working with a newcomer, and right in the middle of working with a newcomer, the newcomer has a heart attack and has a cardiac arrest, goes flatline. They start doing CPR. They call 911. Everybody comes in. They revive the guy. The guy comes back to. He's staring around. He goes to his sponsor, and he says, "Man, that was amazing." He says, "Well, what happened?" He says, "Well, you know, I died. I passed away. I saw the bright light. I'm up in heaven." He says, "And I got some good news and some bad news." He says, "What's that?" "Well, the good news is there's a speaker meeting every Tuesday night up there." He says, "The bad news is you're on for next Tuesday." Three or four years ago, I did this talk, and I talked all about rats and drugs and all this other stuff. And what I do for a living is a lot of what I do is treating drug addicts, whether it's drug addiction, alcohol addiction, sex addiction. They all stem from some basic problems in how the brain works. And one of the things that I've become aware of is that there's this process in people's brains that contributes to all of these diseases, and it's associated with a very, very, very serious problem. And that is that active addicts do not laugh. I mean, they don't. It turns out that normal people, non-addicts, as it turns out, lose the ability to laugh as they get older. It turns out the average people start laughing when they're 17 days old. By the time they're three, most 3 to 4 year olds laugh about 400 to 500 times a day. Most non-addicted adults laugh 5 to 15 times a day, and it plummets an active addiction to almost zero. And as curious as it is, it turns out that the same brain centers that are involved with, that get diseased in addiction, are the same brain centers that light up when you hear a joke. And the key elements of humor are that have to do with surprise and novelty, just like you experienced a minute ago with that wonderful joke. I mean, you weren't expecting what was coming. It came at you. You laughed. And the truth is that if you were really focused on how tough your life was and how, you know, all these problems that you had and, you know, that little train going in there, for a few minutes, maybe even still, because I've captivated your attention, that's all gone. It's not there anymore. I mean, for a few brief moments, it goes away. Now, I'm not necessarily, you know, professing that everybody should, you know, watch the Marx Brothers constantly, but I'm telling you that it's probably better for you than porn. I mean, it really is. And it's probably healthier, and it will actually heal your brain. There are studies that show that it heals the brain. There's a new field of medical treatment that's called laughing yoga. And laughing yoga has been proven to be more effective than most antidepressants for the treatment of depression. It's been shown to be very useful in the treatment of addictive disorders, eating disorders, and all kinds of things. And what people do is they basically learn how to laugh and to generate all of the chemical changes in the brain that go along with laughter, and it serves as an antidote because laughter really just rocket ships dopamine in your brain. And it affects the area of the brain called the nucleus accumbens, which seems to be diseased in us addicts and gets run down. And with enough laughter repetitively, as it turns out, people do recover. And they get better. So, far from telling you what drugs to take today, one of the things I want to tell you is that there is a role for humor and lightness and joy and having fun. You know, as doctors, we have to think a little bit out of the box. One of the things that that I have seen, and it's been very, it's very interesting to see. People come in and, you know, I see people in my office that have had chronic pain for years and years and years, and I'm doctor number 18, and they are just really in, you know, they're really in the sewer when they come in. I mean, they're just down, 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 and they're obsessed and a million thoughts of how horrible their lives is and how terrible they've been treated, and everything's just the worst, you know? And, you know, you walk in there and you tell a joke, or even better yet, you come in and you know, you have a little dog jump up on their lap. They're coming to the doctor and all of a sudden this dog sitting in their lap. Better yet, the dog's humping their leg. It doesn't matter, okay? Within 60 seconds, their pain level goes from 10 to 0. And if you catch them right then, you say, are you in any pain right now? They're amazed because they are none. The ability to be aware of pain, of craving, of misery, of self-pity absolutely vanishes when a person is laughing, when a person is surprised, and when a person is entertained. And one of the major features of addiction in terms of how the brain works is that there are no surprises. All we have is rituals and planning and anxiety and fear. But surprise, I mean, when was the last time anybody got surprised acting out? I mean, except when you get arrested, you know what I mean? That's the only kind of surprise that you get out of this thing, you know? So in that vein, I'm going to conclude with something I found that I thought was hysterical. And it's called, these are called the 12 steps of over-serious anonymous. Okay? And it says, we admitted that we were powerless over our seriousness, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that only by lightening up could we achieve a state of non-seriousness. Three, made a decision to turn our constant self-criticism over to our sense of humor and learn to lovingly and wholeheartedly laugh at ourselves. Four, decided to give ourselves a break once in a while instead of constantly doing searching and fearless moral inventories of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being that our wrongs were often in our heads. Six, were entirely ready to accept that our characters were as good as anybody else's and possibly better than most. Seven, quit harping on our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we thought we had harmed and saw that they'd forgotten all the crap we'd blown out of proportion. Nine, quit making amends for breathing air and taking up a few square feet of the planet's space. 10, resigned ourselves to the fact that we were going to criticize ourselves at times, but would try to stick to our guns when we knew we were right. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to calm down and realize that we're not responsible for everything. 12, having experienced immense relief from these steps, we would try to carry this message to other over-serious people and to practice these principles in all our affairs. And to summarize, the reason why Jeopardy was invented by addicts is, where else would you have all the answers and none of the questions?